Good morning, everybody. Let's take our seats and we'll call our meeting to order for this morning. We'll begin with our introduction, and it's a pleasure to be able to introduce to you Robert Winters. He is the chaplain of the Dallas Fire and Rescue Department, and it's a pleasure to be able to welcome him this morning. He began serving as the interim pastor to Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church in South Dallas area in August of 2002, and in February 2003, he was called to pastor. In addition to his ministry, Robert has served the citizens of Dallas as a firefighter for the Dallas Fire and Rescue Department for the last 24 years and was appointed by the chief of the department to serve as chaplain in the year 2004, leaving the Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church to serve the members of the fire department and the citizens of Dallas full-time. We appreciate Robert being with us to perform this invocation. Mr. Winters, pastor, thank you for being with us. Please rise.
Let us pray. Lord God, how we thank you for your loving kindness, your grace, and your tender mercies that came to us so afresh on this morning. Touched us with your finger of love and our eyes opened and beheld a brand new day. God, we give you thanks and praise. We invoke now your presence and your power upon our gathering today. God, we pray that you not let our coming together be in vain. We pray even now that the decisions and discussions May today will be a great blessing to the citizenry of this city. Not only to the citizens of this city, O God, but those who are employed and called to serve the citizens of this city. We ask this favor in the name of Jesus, our Christ, our soon coming King, and all the people said, Amen.
Amen.
Mr. Atkins, could you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands.
Colleagues, good morning, and I would like to, if you will help me welcome Mr. Harold Cullum here to present the Community Builder Award to our Mayor, Tom Leppard.
Mayor Leppard, City Council members, guests, it is a pleasure to come together as a fraternity to recognize someone who, through his unselfish efforts, has helped to make our community a better place in which to live. Freemasonry is the world's largest and oldest fraternal organization. We have written records going back to the 1300s. Masons, although never engaging in partisan politics or sectarian religion, have always, from earliest ages, been great supporters of good government. And that is one of the reasons that we are here today. Particularly when our Community Builder Committee put forth your name, they cited your internship program and several of the other educational initiatives that you have put forward. And I want to just read one line out of the Dallas Morning News, which I don't really quote them a lot, but I will today, of Sunday, March 30th, 2008. And it outlines these programs that you have initiated. And at the very bottom it says, dramatic progress won't happen, though, without wide community support. And that is one of the reasons that we are here today, to show you the support of the community of Freemasons in this city and in this state. There are approximately 200,000 Freemasons in the state of Texas, and this is an award that is submitted to the Grand Lodge for their approval, and we receive that. And with that, I want to present to you the Community Builder Award from the Masonic Grand Lodge of Texas to the Honorable Thomas C. Leppard, September 17, 2008. And this somewhat resembles the Washington Monument, which, as you certainly know, was the most illustrious Freemason that we hearken back to. So,
that's an honor.
Mayor Leppard,
thank you.
And we believe that A certificate is just a bunch of words on paper until it's read in public. So I will read this. Northern Star Lodge number 377 and the Grand Lodge of Texas Ancient Free and Accepted Masons are pleased to present the Community Builder Award to the Honorable Thomas C. Leppard in recognition of the leadership that he has provided for the citizens of Dallas and the positive role model that he has provided for the youth of our city. It is signed by the Worshipful Master of our lodge and myself as Secretary Rupert.
Thank you very much. That's kind. I very much appreciate that. Thank you very much. This is a special award. I would tell you, having been know an awful lot of Masons, been affiliated with an awful lot of Masons, I think an awful well of them. I think the last time we got a chance to get together was when you and your lodge were presenting bicycles to our police department so that we could do a better job of patrol. So it's those sort of activities that a lot of times people don't see the role of Masons in the community, but I sure do, and I appreciate it. I tell you, last, there was an awful lot of awfully good people that were Masons that were my mentors when I was a young man, and they made a big difference. So I appreciate this very much. That's a special meaning to me.
That's right. I want to introduce also, this is our worshipful master, the leader of our lodge this year, John Ellis.
Hey, John, how are you?
And David Willox, who is the chairman of our community.
David, I know well.
Yes. All right. If you would like to
church
you to take a picture over here with our
Right here in the front.
There you go.
He is a rat.
Okay, now Ms. Medrano is going to present the next proclamation.
Thank you, Dr. Garcia, and good morning, colleagues. Good morning, audience. All of us know someone with a substance use disorder, whether that person is a family member, a friend, a colleague, or a neighbor. Those who have lived through these experiences have the most compelling stories to tell and can truly make a difference in helping others seek treatment. Everyone who has a stake in fostering the survival and the growth of quality treatment service works together to convey the message that substance abuse is treatable, is a treatable disease, and the recovery is possible. Here with us to accept the proclamation today is Mr. Joe Powell with the Association of Persons Affected by Addiction. If he will join me here at the podium along with the stakeholders as well. Mr. Powell, thank you for joining us here today, and we would like to, I would like to read the proclamation today, and it reads, whereas on behalf of the citizens of Dallas, Texas, I am pleased to join the Associations of Persons Affected by Addiction to celebrating September 2008 as National Alcoholic and Drug Addiction Recovery Month in Dallas, Texas. Whereas acknowledging September 2008 as National Alcohol and Drug Addiction Recovery Month offers those involved in substance abuse treatment an opportunity to educate the public, community organizations, public officials, and civic leaders about the effectiveness of treatment, both societal and financial. And whereas substance abuse and co-occurring mental disorders and coexisting physical illnesses are a major health problem that affect millions of Americans of all ages, races, and ethnic backgrounds in all communities, and of huge medical, societal, and economic costs. And whereas people with co-occurring substance abuse and mental disorders can and do recover, and people with co-occurring substance abuse and mental disorders deserve access to the service they need to recover. Whereas the U.S. Department of Health and Human Resources Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration Center for Substance Abuse Treatment and the Office of National Drug Control Policy invite all residents of Dallas to participate in National Alcohol and Drug Addiction and Recovery Month. Now, therefore, I, Pauline Medrano, representing the Mayor of the City of Dallas, Callum Leppard, and the entire City Council, do hereby proclaim the month of September as National Alcohol and Drug Addiction Recovery Month in Dallas, Texas.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good morning, Honorable Mayor and Dallas Councilwoman Medrano. I appreciate it, and the rest of the City Council members. Usually I'm in Washington, D.C. Because of the kickoff for Recovery Month. Is something. This is the 19th year for the federal government, and that's the stands for CFAT federal government. It actually puts this on, and I'm on the, I am the planning partner for the state of Texas that usually go to Washington. Being this the 19th year, and our theme this year is Real People, Real Recovery. And because of my long-term recovery since October the 8th, 1988, I haven't had a drink of alcohol or any other drugs. I'm able to be the executive director for APA, which is the Association of Persons Affected by Addiction. And with me, I have some community recovery folks that's along with me. We're glad to have everybody here, including, of course, our recovery coach, Cindy Pena, our director of operations, AJ, and, of course, the Winner's Circle, and along with some other recovery community members. So we're glad to receive the proclamation for this year, and thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. May I present this to you? Thank you so
much,
Mayor, and thank you, and success to all of you.
Appreciate
it. You know, it's a fight every day.
Thank you very much, Mr. Drano. Mr. Salazar, could I turn it over to you, please?
Thank you, Mayor. Let me step up to the Jerry Allen podium here, since he was the one who started all this. Mayor, thank and council members, audience, thank you for allowing me these few minutes to honor a really great institution and organization that's really make a difference throughout the city of Dallas and the region of Dallas. Today we have with us, and I'm going to ask you please come up, Ms. Kathy Packard, and whoever's with you, you can bring with them up as well. With the Disability and Employment Awareness Month. Let me just say that in our lives and the lives of many, we are touched by special people who have, for whatever reason, a disability. But in many ways, a disability is also an opportunity that lends itself to people to be much greater than they thought they could be, but also to show that people truly do have potential. And today we have an agency that shows people that they have potential and helps them to achieve that potential. So, Ms. Packard, I'm going to read a proclamation, and the following proclamation reads as well. Whereas employment is vital to independence, empowerment, and quality of life, and the local unemployment rate for adults with disability is 33% to 46% compared to 4.5% for the general population, and whereas many of the employed men and women with disabilities are underemployed or unable to find year-round full-time jobs, individuals with disabilities are three times more likely to live in poverty with annual incomes below $15,000. And whereas the Alliance of Agency Executives Serving People with Disabilities and its subcommittee, the Supported Employment Coalition, along with government entities, provide excellent programs, employment services, and advocacy free of charge to residents of Dallas. And whereas many area businesses are committed to hiring and supporting men and women with disabilities in the workforce by working together to open doors for opportunity for citizens with disabilities, we can fulfill the promise of our great city. Now, therefore, Tom Leppard, Mayor of the City of Dallas, on behalf of the City Council, hereby proclaims the month of October 2008 as Disability Employment Awareness Month in Dallas, Texas, presented to Ms. Kathy Copeland. Kathy Packard. Sorry. There you go.
I'm here as President-elect of the Alliance of Agency Executives Serving People with Disabilities. I also wear the hat of Executive Director of Special Care and Career Services. Mayor Leppard has been a great proponent for our population. I just wanted to say this morning, when we're all shattered by financial news, that employment of people with disabilities represents one of the best investments our government, whether it's city, local city, state, or government, can make. For every dollar invested in employment of a person with a disability, between $8 and $20 is returned to the community, to us, in terms of reduced need for social services, because people who have a job are happier. They feel more, they feel better about themselves. Secondly, in reduced, in increased ability for these individuals to spend money in our community, to be consumers. And finally, in their ability to be taxpayers like the rest of us and really participate in our community. So I thank you all. Actually, City of Dallas, I know of at least one individual with disabilities that is employed by our great city. And I'd like to introduce a couple of other faces in the community who share my passion. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. I think you'll be very impressed with these leaders in employment of disabilities, people with disabilities.
Good morning. I'm Cindy Higgs with MetroCare Services. And we really appreciate your support of the employment with people with disabilities. It means a lot to the community. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Gaylord Thomas. I represent Citizen Development Center. I'm the executive director for this particular organization. And I just want to just thank you, thank the council, thank the mayor for this opportunity.
My name is Rob Millard, and I work for the Marriott Foundation Bridges from School to Work program. We help high school seniors and recent high school graduates with disabilities get jobs here in Dallas. And thus far, we've been around for about 3 years, and we've helped approximately 165 youth get jobs here in Dallas. So thank you to the council, thank you to the mayor, and thank you to Dallas, who's been very supportive of our program thus far. Thanks.
Good morning. I'm Carmen Fernandez from Notre Dame of Dallas School, and I'm director of job development. I'm also a teacher. I'm also in the trenches looking for the jobs, doing the job training, and I brought 3 students.
Hi, my name is Stella.
My name is Danielle.
My name is Elaine.
If you can come a little bit forward so the lights are not on your faces, that usually helps with the picture. There we go. Mayor Lepper will present the next proclamation for Pollution Prevention Week. Thank the Lord, Miss Soon. No, it was her.
I keep looking, I don't see any.
You know, it's interesting if you look at it over the course of the last several years. 10 years ago, everybody talked about the issues of the environment and pollution, and it was something that was kind of way out there. It was kind of on the fringe and that sort of thing. I was struck last evening. I got back late, and they were doing some overviews of the presidential election. and both of the candidates were talking about the importance of the environment, what we could do. Some of those issues are cap and trade and carbons and all of the sorts of things on a national, international level. But we've also learned that while all of those are important, when we deal with the environment, when we talk about pollution, what we can do, there's an awful lot of things that individuals can do. And I think that's what's exciting, and that's where a lot of the movement in improving our environment, building the awareness, and taking actions has come from. It's my pleasure to introduce Eric Griffin, who is the interim director of our Office of Environmental Quality. And we are proclaiming this week to be Pollution Prevention Week. Eric, before I read this, would you do me a favor and introduce people that we have up here?
We have a couple of types of individuals up here, all committed to the environment. But first of all, can I get the OEQ staff to raise your hands? We have Ms. Kim Offutt, Kevin LeFave, Hannah Colney, Frank Camp, Brittany Westfall, one of our newest employees, Brian Carter, and Freddie Ortiz. And then we also have some environmental management reps from other departments here, so I can get you to raise your hands real quick. We have Anwar, Patrick, and I'm sorry, Johnny, Grady, and Feba right here. So these are representing several of our departments that are part of the EMS.
We appreciate all of you being here and what you do. This is a proclamation, and I won't read all of it, but it talks about what the residents of Dallas can do and are doing to support and preserve a clean environment. It talks about the importance of proper management of waste as a key effort in preserving our environment. It talks about pollution prevention as being a cost-effective management tool that has benefits in a lot of ways that really go beyond simply the environment, to produce benefits economically and otherwise in our community. It encourages partnerships between residents, businesses, public, private sector, and the effectiveness of those in dealing with pollution. It talks about the importance of improving the environmental conditions, protecting the health and safety of workers, so it gets on a very personal level, and also what it does to strengthen our community. And it also mentions increasing the awareness and the attention to that and what we're doing in those areas and the progress that's being made. And it ends by saying, whereas the City of Dallas encourages all residents, businesses, and organizations to work together to ensure that future generations have a clean, healthy, and sustainable future. Now, therefore, I, Tom Leppard, as Mayor of the City of Dallas, and on behalf of the entire Dallas City Council, do hereby proclaim the week of September 15, 2008 as Pollution Prevention Week. Eric, to you and all of your colleagues, we appreciate what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
I'm saying a couple words.
Sure. That's good. Thank you very much. Mr. Mayor, honorable members of the council, as a little background, this event actually began in California back in 1992, and it has since become a nationwide phenomenon that we're very proud to be a part of. And the theme this year is Where Sustainable Practices Begin, which is a great reminder that preventing pollution at the front end of our activities is really much more important and preferable and even cost-effective than trying to deal with cleaning up after we're done doing what we do. So the theme Where Sustainable Practices Begin also gets us to think about who exactly is responsible for environmental stewardship? So that's a question that we have on our minds all the time. The folks standing with me here today believe that it's all of our responsibility. So not only have you met our environmental quality staff, but also environmental management reps from several departments in the city that were really responsible for getting the environmental management system certified this past June. They've done a phenomenal job. We've got much more ahead of us, but they not only got us well-deserved recognition, they put us on a sustainable path forward. Now, even though they're up here receiving recognition and receiving this proclamation, there are thousands of city employees that interact with the environment every single day and are doing their part to prevent pollution. It's just a little harder to coordinate getting them all here for this proclamation. But just real quickly, the City of Dallas is celebrating by having a week-long series of events. We've been holding a separate day every week, a separate event every day in the City Hall lobby and plaza. So I'd invite you to come see our topic today, which is air quality. Mm-hmm. Come and see a demonstration of hybrid vehicles. It's a lot of fun. And then it's going to culminate with a public event on Saturday. We'll have a City Hall Green Festival. Fun for all the family. Lots of activities, so we hope to see many of you down there. That's going to be September the 20th from 10 to 2 at the City Hall Plaza. And I'd like to thank my staff for coordinating that, especially Hannah Colney for putting on a great series of events this week. And then finally, I just want to thank city management and the leadership that we have here for getting so far out ahead of the curve on greening municipal operations. I mean, if you look across the country, you'll see that we as a city are among the leaders when it comes to greening our operations. And, you know, that's all of my comments now. I just want to say here's to a great Pollution Prevention Week and here's to a sustainable future. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
As Eric said, we've really become a leader. You know, 10 years ago, I think it would be hard-pressed to call Dallas or Texas a leader in the environmental efforts. Today, that is clearly the case with the work that's been done, even in the last year, moving to all green buildings, public, private, large, small. So that's an important element of what we're doing, commercial as well as residential. When you were mentioning that it's everybody's responsibility, I thought that centuries ago when I was in debate in high school, and the topic for the year was environmental regulation. That was way before we had some of the laws and that sort of thing. And I can remember whenever I would get in trouble, and I knew I was in trouble because we were getting beat with programs, I had one card, and it said there's three reasons for pollution. Men, women, and children.
Thank you. Madam, before Mr. Carway takes the podium, Ms. Coop wants to say a few words.
I just wanted to, Eric, thank you. Under Eric's leadership, he's just new to this position. He's done a great job following big shoes of Laura Fivick. And also, I don't know if Jill is around, but Jill has just been a leader in this area, too. But a special thanks to the staff, because it really is staff-driven, our successes. And we on the council, you know, it's easy for us to, you know, I always say the thing about, you know, I never met a politician that says, I'm for crime or I'm for pollution. So it's easy for a politician to take those kinds of stands, but to carry the ball and get it initiated and acted upon really is a staff-driven thing. And so we're just really appreciative of the staff here. And also, I just have to give kudos to the mayor, too, because it starts at the top. So thank you very much. And Ms. Thune, there she is. And Ms. Thune, who long before my tenure, she and Ms. Finkelman and Jill Jordan recognized the importance of the environment and were leaders in that area. So we're all, and she conveyed that, I think, to the staff, and it really shows. So thank you all, the employees in the City of Dallas. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. And I think that you were very modest in your comments, because you also, you know, with your predecessor, Lois Finkelman, have been very active with Ms. Jordan, the manager, and staff. I see a lot of new faces, which is great. You know, moving what is important for our city, which is a better air quality and quality of life. And then, Mr. Allen.
Just real quick, again, echo what Councilman Coop had to say. All of this started a long time before I even got here. So, but it was so neat. I can now be the mouthpiece. I might not got it started, but I can be the mouthpiece for what you guys and girls are doing, making Dallas just the leader. And it's so neat to be out front, something I was never aware of, just how green we are. And that's something to be proud of, and it's something that we promote for you guys based on what y'all are doing for us. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Eric, thanks to you and all of your colleagues. We appreciate what you do. Thank you. Mr. Carway.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. I'm going to kind of make it a little quick. I had a little dentistry on yesterday, so I'm kind of a little in pain. But I'm going to ask C.W. Whitaker, if he would, to come up. And Antoinette Alford and Barbara and Maurice Prince. And Mr. Johnson is coming. C.W., you got to do most of this talking, so just be ready. Let me just first say that as we talk about Ms. J and that's Ms. Johnson. Ms. Johnson passed. She was our concessionaire at Keith Park, and Ms. Johnson was the person that was the softball coach, the mother of the softball teams, the lady that took care of all of the girls' softball teams across the city, and they would stay at her house. She would feed them. They would come to Miss J, and that's affectionately how she was known as Miss J. They would come to her with their concerns. She would take people in. She would feed them. She would clothe them. They always had a place to go. If they were down on their luck with their children, family concerns, whatever it was, you did not have to be a relative of Miss J. And from that, and in her honor, of course, the legacy of Miss J lives on, and from that was formed a scholarship. And she's always cared after everybody now. Now, this is Miss J's husband, and this is C.W. Whitaker. He was the coach of the softball team. Miss J, her toughest job was trying to control C.W. and keep him away from all those girls. Now, that was probably the toughest job that Miss J had, and she would make sure that the boys' softball teams always respected the girls' softball. Yes, she did. She'd make sure that all of them. Miss J was a strong mother and a shepherd over all the young ladies. But to their credit and to that end, and laying all the funds and jokes aside, she was someone that we loved. She took charge of all of the concessionaires and concessions. She headed up the concession at the newly Keith Park Recreation Softball Facility until her passing. But we just want to honor her today and honor young ladies and her legacy. And let me just read this, C.W. Do you want to read it? Let me try to read it. No, you come on up here and help read it. Sheffield, you probably need to help me with C.W. a little bit here. You didn't bring your glasses. Read this one. Whereas
Miss J Scholarship Program represents an invaluable opportunity for the Dallas students to be recognized for their athletic and academic achievements, and whereas a softball tournament took place in order to raise funds for Miss J Scholarship Program, the tournament enabled a chance for the community members to generously donate their time and resources for the benefit of the scholarship program, and whereas Miss J Scholarship Program awards scholarships to 4 students, applicants must complete an application form, submit a copy of 1 report card for the current year, and write a 200 to 1,000 word essay on how playing softball has impacted their lives. And whereas this year's recipients of the Miss J Scholarship was recognized during an award program at Keith Park Recreation Center on August 9, 2008, whereas the City of Dallas commends the Miss J Scholarship in honor of the program's important role in recognizing outstanding Dallas students and promoting community building in our great city. Now, therefore, I, Tom Leppard, Mayor of Dallas, on behalf of the Dallas City Council, do hereby extend special recognition to the Miss J Scholarship Program for its commitment to the young people in Dallas, Texas.
And this is presented to Antoinette Alford. She has a scholarship. What you doing? Come on, read this for us right now, your little essay. All right.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We have instructions to write an essay on how a softball player has impacted our lives in any kind of way. And it was extremely hard for me because this particular person that I chose to write about, it's hard to incorporate all his good qualities within 2 paragraphs. So it was extremely hard, but I just wrote from my heart. And here's what I wrote. How a softball player has made a positive influence in my life. My life has been filled with a lot of people who have influenced my life, but there's only one person that truly stands in a category of his own when it comes to someone who has influenced me the most, and that person is C.W. Whitaker. He is a brother, an uncle, a friend, and most importantly, a father and a grandfather. All my life, I've known this man. And he's proven to be a genuine good person and a wonderful father. What makes Mr. Whitaker so special is that although he is not my biological father, he has by far been a father figure to me. I was raised by a single-parent mother, and times was hard. Mr. Whitaker has stepped in and provided many avenues to my future today. I credit Mr. Whitaker for my college degree. because he has opened so many doors for my college career. What I find fascinating about Mr. Whitaker is that although he came from poverty growing up, he still managed to graduate from college and become the successful man that he is today. And besides being a successful man, he's a wonderful father, not only to his own kids, but to others as well. C.W. Whitaker, by far, is a wonderful man, and because his lifestyle has been so uplifting, it has inspired me. He has inspired me to become a better person, to reach out to other people with a gentle heart. He has also inspired me to go after my dreams and believe in myself, and that through Christ, anything is possible. By having Mr. Whitaker in my life, I know what a good man looks like. I know that not all black men are terrible fathers. I know that not all black men are uneducated. I've learned that even though you're not biologically related to someone, it doesn't stop anyone from loving you unconditionally. I hope that my future husband is just like him. I pray that my son will model in his footsteps. Mr. Whitaker has a heart of gold and a spirit of an angel. I thank God every day for putting Mr. Whitaker in my life. He is truly an inspiration. Thank you.
Okay. And I'll let me just say this in closing. When everyone knows, no secret, that CW is my best friend. And in hearing this, we were both, you know, at this event and listening to the essays, had no idea that this would be written about CW. But it shows the impact and the character of a person that has had an impact on a kid's life. He did not just meet her at 10 years old. We've been babysitting this baby for the longest. And from every Christmas, every holiday, every birthday, every day that was not a holiday, CW has been there. And I say that because I thought it was proper for me to raise the light on CW Whitaker and his commitment to kids and to society. He's a heck of a father. He has his own children that he deals with, but he also deals with other kids, and he's never turned his back at all. And for the impact and for what I heard when this essay was written, my heart just went out as well as everyone else's. But I just want you all to know that NCW, he's one heck of a guy. And he's impacted your life and others, and we are both so very proud of you and your family. We're also kind of proud of him, too, sometimes. But I just want you all to know that, because a lot of folks don't get a chance to really hear and see. You only see the bad side of things a lot of times. But there are some good people out here that are true from their heart and committed and are not looking for the credit. And that's what's important to me, is that he's not looking for the credit, but he's here to serve. So, CW, thank you. And Antoinette, we appreciate you. You said she did what? See?
Barbara was the scorekeeper.
Oh, yeah.
Come, Barbara.
Let's meet Barbara. Come tell us about Barbara. Thank you, Ms. Caraway. Barbara was the scorekeeper that donated the most hours during the tournament, which we did raise over $2,000. And this is Mr. Johnson. And, he was Miss Johnson's husband. So we appreciate everything that they do in the community. Okay. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
Okay. Thank you all so very much.
Let me give a quick overview of our agenda, really, for all of today, and give some sense, at least hopefully, a sense of the timing on this. We'll go through our open microphone speakers now, and then we've got two quick voting agenda items, the minutes and then appointments, and then one other item that will be individual consideration. We'll go through those. Then we will go into an executive session. There's a number of items that we'll go through on that. My hope is, and the timing gets to be a challenge, so we can all take this into consideration, that we'd be done with the executive session at 11:30. At 11:30, then we'll all leave for the event at the Cotton Bowl. That will be recognizing the opening of the Cotton Bowl and the improvements that have been done there. After that, then, assuming that we get done by 11:30, we'll come back. We'll do the afternoon speakers right at 1 o'clock. And then ideal situation, we can do the afternoon speakers before we get to that point, but if we can't, then we'll have to rotate over. And then this evening at 6:30, we'll be meeting at the Arboretum. There's a number of different items on the agenda for that, as well as two key presentations on the King Tut exhibit, as well as the Arboretum. And that will be this evening. It will begin at 6:30. So with that, let's try to do the opening speakers, then we'll go through those items for consideration, and then try to move quickly through the executive session and try to finish that up by 11:30. So, Madam Secretary, can I turn to you?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We begin your morning speakers this morning with Ernest Mason, followed by Edwin Blair. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Again, the first speaker is Ernest Mason, followed by Edwin Blair. Each individual will be allowed 3 minutes. The timer is noted on two screens. At 30 seconds, the numbers do turn amber, and then at zero, they'll stop speaking and allow the next speaker to come forward. Ernest Mason, not present. Edwin Blair, please state your name for the record.
I'm Edwin Blair. I live at 4130 Herschel in Dallas. I've been here for 25 years. You ready?
Yes.
Thank you. One of the things I'd like you to know is I'm sure as the City Council you're not tired of hearing about Jeannie. So let's bring her up one more time. It is a major topic of our neighborhood meetings, which we meet once a month. It's a major topic that 80% of the Dallas citizens believe it's time that Jeannie goes into retirement. I've been to a number of zoos throughout my life. I've had the fortune to be at Houston, Fort Worth, San Diego, Tucson, Washington, and my grandson lives in Abilene and recently attended a week-long zoo camp in Abilene. All my grandkids have been to the Dallas Zoo. I recently took my oldest grandson to the Dallas Zoo, and one of the comments he had when we got to the elephant exhibit is said, "Why do they not like the elephants here?" And I said, what do you mean? Well, they're in a little small cage. Why do they not like them? We have bigger cages. And this is a city of 100,000 people that has a better elephant exhibit than we do. I know we're working on it. We want to thank Harold Simmons for his donation. We want to thank the zoo for wanting to build a bigger facility for the elephants. But isn't it time to let an older elephant that does not get along with other elephants to retire, and let's bring in two younger, fresher elephants through exchange programs that we might have in order to get them into the to the exhibit once it's finished. I'm not much of an activist. I grew up on a ranch. What I had for breakfast, we raised on the ranch. What I had for dinner, we raised on the ranch. I raised quarter horses. I put myself through college selling my quarter horses. But my older quarter horses all had got to retire peacefully to the ranch until they passed away. I think that my background in raising animals, caring for animals, made me have such a love for someone who needs to be retired. I want to talk about a couple of facts about the elephants. The Dallas Zoo, it takes about $125,000 a year to feed one elephant. That'll be $250,000 a year to feed two if we put another one in with Jeannie right now. Do you know at the bridge, we feed 900 people on the average a day, three meals a day. That's 985,500 meals a year at the cost of $250,317. We actually cost as much to feed two elephants as it costs to feed everybody that we have at the bridge. I think that we have to take a great look that if for 4 years of building an elephant exhibit, even though they claim it may be done quicker, we could actually be saving $1 million by retiring Jeannie now and bringing in new elephants when it's time with the new facility to be built. Jeannie is a living, thinking animal. She is not a piece of property. She does deserve to have a retirement. Dallas is a city of change. Excuse my voice. I've been yelling at nephews from Houston for the last week. Dallas is a city of change. I think change is for the better. I think it's time to change the elephant exhibit at the zoo, which you've agreed to do. I think it's time to retire Jeannie. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Your last speaker this morning is Mary Hassan.
My name is Mary Hassan. I live at 3425 Hacienda. I'm the vice president of the Steelworkers Union. Monday, as I sat at my desk here at City Hall, I heard the council and the budget workshop. I heard how you love each other, how you love working with the mayor, how you love Mary Stone for the great job that she's doing. I'm here before you today to say, show a little love for you city employees. Every year, we come before this council talking about benefits. I don't know if you don't, but our city manager does not believe in pay raises across the board, cost of living. So we don't get them. But the truth of the matter is, whether you don't believe in them or not, the cost of living keeps rising. Gasoline keeps rising. Food costs keep rising. We have three insurance that we can choose from this year. People with children really don't have that much of a choice. They can only take the first policy because the other two are entirely too expensive. I guess this is that time when I'm kind of glad that I'm old and my children are grown because I don't have to worry about their insurance. Council members, insurance is in the national debate with the president, the cost of health insurance for children. If you have city employees who can't afford to insure their children, and every year we hear, we'll do something next year. We'll look at this next year. We'll try another plan. But the plans don't get any better. The plan that you came up with, you're going to give us a $1,000 card. But you gave us a $1,500 deductible on prescriptions. And the insurance costs more. It's not that big a difference. You swap it around, and it comes back the same. Please. Your mayor, your city manager, your district, they're only the way they are because of your employees. You can't have a good city manager without good employees. So I know a lot of you think that we're low level and you don't have any real appreciation for us. But believe me, we work hard. And I'm also a citizen of this city. You didn't want a tax increase, but nobody asked me. The only council member I know of that talks about tax increases at budget meetings was District 8. And his people didn't have a problem with it. Think about your city employees. Thanks.
The only comment I have, Mara, you know, I kind of expressed that in the budget hearing, is about city employees. I had numerous city employees come to me and talk to me about health care and health benefit. And I stated once before, when I left college, the first job I went to Ford Motor Company, and the reason why I went there because of the benefits. They had great benefits. And I think people today, when they first came to work to the city of Dallas 10, 15, 20 years ago, they hired on because we had great benefits. And I think in order to get our 13,000 employees back together, we as a city got to find a way that we do have great benefits, especially health care. I know that we look at the budget. It's very, very difficult to find out where we find the money. But I did look at the health care benefits to the point of prescription drugs. Even though we have a $1,000 deductible, but you got $1,500 that you had in the past, but you also lose a $75 prescription drug deductible. Once you lose that, if a person who maintains their drugs they're going to spend more money over the $1,000. And that's a big issue to me. There'll be more money out of their pocket. I know we're trying to go to generic drug. We can go on and on with this. But I think there is a solution. I think next time when we come with the budget, we go back to the bond taxes, we need to look at to the citizen here and say, hey, citizen, do we need to find another avenue or raise a half cent or whatever to make sure that we do have the best health care in the city of Dallas? Let us be the leader. We are a leader internationally. Let us be the leader in health care to make sure our employees have the best benefits. Remember, without your health, you have nothing. And if our citizen is not healthy, we got a very, very weak city. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor, so much. Yeah, we talked about it at our budget. Jill brought up the health benefit and the changes in the health benefit. I think from day one we've been talking about the employees and making sure that they can get the right benefit. I first mentioned when I went to the doctor with the glasses, and of course I ended up going to JCPenney's because I just could not, when they showed me the glasses that I had to choose from. I think that's one thing that we need to look at. The other thing is I think, and this is just, you know, Carolyn Davis, I think that the deductible is extremely too high. I was on the elevator, and this is when I first got on the council. This lady was extremely sick, and she said that she could not afford the deductible, but she was here at work anyway. So I think, Mary, that when we look at the next budget, we need to truly, truly look at a way that we can deal with the health benefit. And I know it's costly across the country. Health insurance is high. I talked to some other friends who are dealing with insurance, and they're in executive positions, and they're talking about how high the cost of insurance is. I think this is something that we just might need to talk about at our upcoming retreat and perhaps look at ways of preventive medicine. And I do believe in preventive medicine, but other ways that we can deal with the health insurance issue here at City Hall. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Ms. Hassan, absolutely. Our city employees are vital. You are absolutely right that our city employees are vital. And it harks back to a year and a half ago on the campaign trail in my specific district, how many city employees actually live in the city and depend on a quality workplace. So it is very important. Mary, the health care plan that you're proposing to implement October 1st, is that correct? Is it October 1st? Tell us again, what does that provide as far as incentivizing employees for medical coverage?
The plan actually begins January 1st.
I'm sorry.
The sign-up will begin October 1st.
Okay. So the existing plan stays in place until the January 1st?
Right. The new features of this plan that we struggled with to, as those costs went up, to provide as much health care as we could to employees at least cost is, one, the $1,000 credit. Before you have to spend any money out of your pocket, it's that $1,000 credit. Also, there are lots of preventative procedures that are free, mammograms, pap smears, kind of wellness types of procedures. And the third thing would be the clinic that will be located in City Hall, and that will be available to all employees.
And how unique is this proposal or plan to Dallas compared to other cities our size? Are we stepping ahead of the curve, or where are we in that continuum?
We are stepping a little bit ahead of the curve, but I felt it was important that we provide a methodology for our employees to have access to health care. The $1,000 deductible that started, when you start there and you have to meet a $1,000 deductible initially starting off, that is a bit of a high challenge. So that the $1,000 credit before you come to your deductible, the clinic, and also the free preventative care, we hope will address some of those issues.
I appreciate the progress. I know, colleagues, in my small business, I have 30 employees. Our health care plan, we just got our notice of increase, a 16% increase in premiums for my company and my employees. And so that's what, in the private sector, I'm facing, a 16% increase. And I don't have much of a choice. Now, I'm going to start in my small company shopping for other carriers, but I anticipate I'm going to face double-digit increases of premium costs. So I appreciate the manager making progress in providing that credit ahead of time for our employees, because a healthy workforce is a productive workforce. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
And I'd reinforce the clinic option, too, as a way to try to address people's needs quickly and do it in as cost-effective manner as possible. Mr. Rudansky, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mary, are you still out there? Would you mind stepping forward? Good morning.
Good morning.
This is my eighth time that I think I have heard you before every council, before the budget, and probably discounting, forgetting about health care, which is a big issue. Probably 8 years ago to today, your base salary probably is close to the same, is it? Or has it moved any, hardly anything?
No, we've gotten raises, merit increases, but the problem is everything keeps going up. And there were years that we got nothing. Nothing. And not count the fact that the insurance is so high. I'm not here because of me. I'm one person. I can afford the insurance. I'm here because there are city employees who have children who can't afford to pay for the insurance for their children. And you're talking about a clinic. You have 16,000 employees, and you also have their families that are also eligible to go to this clinic. This clinic is only going to have doctors there during a certain period of time. So, how are we all going to get in there to see the doctor? We're going to be worse than Parker.
Mary, that's why, you know, everybody runs their business differently. I think the employees are the most important part of a business. I know in my business, when I have bad years, my employees get a raise. I don't care what it is, but because the cost of living goes up in Dallas, probably 2.5 to 3% a year, and I build that in, irrespective of if we lose money or not that year. Unfortunately, Mary, the city gives away so much money to developers that I do not feel is necessary. Maybe that money can benefit the employees of the city of Dallas. I'm going to keep punching away as much as I can. The employees need to be doing the same thing. And believe me, if you get a 1 or 2% a year, it still doesn't match inflation. And it's extremely important that we do the best we can for our employees. And I appreciate you coming down here. You've been hearing all this rhetoric from all the council members for 8 years, but it's not putting any money on the table. So I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm only one vote here. So we can't even get a raise for our sanitation workers. So I apologize to you. Thank you very much for the time that you have put down here. One thing I've had in 8 years down here, there are some great employees here at the city, some great employees. And thank you for your time that you spent.
And thank you, Councilman Rudansky, because a lot of times city employees don't feel like this council cares. We feel like we're not considered. When you talk about your citizens and all of that, we are your citizens and your employees. And we like to hear it every once in a while. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. That concludes.
Mayor, can I?
Dr. Garcia, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Mary, I just want you to know that, you know, this council cares about their employees. And of course, it was a tough budget. However, I did check after the presentation that the manager did about employees' benefits, what other cities were doing. And while healthcare costs continues to rise, a lot of cities are doing exactly what, you know, the manager presented this year, the prevention through a clinic. I really haven't been part of it. I don't know how it's going to work, but it's definitely going to be the first step. I think that one of the things that we have not been able to do is taking prevention seriously. And the issues that, you know, that will help you to get, you know, before you get ill. So the only other thing that, you know, this council will have to address will be to increase the portion that the city puts when it comes to matching the shelter part. And I know that that's probably the only thing that this council can look in the future, because I can assure you that healthcare costs will continue to increase. As a dentist, you know, I don't take a lot of insurances anymore because they don't pay me what I charge. So that has been a challenge for a lot of the groups, especially for big groups, because a lot of dentists don't take them anymore. A lot of doctors don't take them anymore. So I think that for the future, Mary, that's one of the things that you need to work with the civilian employees and talk to this council and the manager. Thank you, Mayor.
Good comment, Dr. Good.
And a lot of people don't go to the dentist anymore, like me.
I know that.
Good comment, Dr. Good. See, I would note our budget, not large leaps, but did increase the proportion that is picked up by the employer, e.g. the city, relative to the employee. That completes our morning speakers. I think our first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. Those have been distributed to you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
I need a motion.
Any opposed?
Please.
Go forward. Okay.
Now we have something for you, Mr.
Let's go through. Before the minutes, and Mitchell, I think, and this might be what. This might be why you were going to object, but in the thing that we know there's a national holiday coming up. It is known as Mitchell Rozanski's birthday. So with that, Mr. Kadane, go.
Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mitchell. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
The wrap is inside.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Let's go back now. We'll catch it. Mr. Natinsky had moved and Mr. Kadane had seconded approval of the minutes. Mr. Rozanski, you had a comment?
Yes. I was passed out here the agenda as it was set up for the agenda for September the 15th. It was just passed out. Said the briefing, and it spelled out budget amendments, briefs, trouble will be taken. And then on what was passed out just a little while ago, it said Exhibit B. Mr. Mayor, it talks about minutes from the city council. It does not talk about in here where we talk about, discuss the amendments on how this was written up. It doesn't say that. And when I came, you know, Mayor, this is the eighth budget, been through four mayors. Every mayor that I have been through, they let the council members read each of their budget amendments individually. You asked the city council for a motion for pages 12 through 15, which included my amendments. You did not give me an opportunity to read each of my amendments, which I worked on with the city auditor for 3 months, not to explain each one in detail like every prior mayor. Mayor, I think it's a travesty what you did. And when you made a statement, you want to limit the second round to 1 minute, we're talking about almost a $3 billion budget, I think it's wrong. You control the council.
You know, colleagues, let me tell you something. Maybe you don't know. I had a quarterly meeting in the mayor's office Friday. Mr. Newman, Mr. Natinsky, and myself. It was to discuss what problems, if any, each of us had. I was the first one in there, and then Mr. Natinsky and Mr. Newman came 2 minutes later. Everyone was on time. And I saw a paper Mr. Natinsky had in his hand that had to do, I didn't know what it was. It was your paper. I think both had paper, but there was a paper that the mayor said to Mr. Natinsky, or you, is this, have you gone around? I understand people are supposed to go around, these people are supposed to go around to every council person. They didn't come to me, and there's another council person who told me no one approached that individual either. So I think it's wrong how we're handling the amendments, how we're trying to push everything through. And in this morning's paper, you were quoted by saying we had 20 meetings. We didn't have 20 meetings to discuss our amendments. Our amendments were handed to us Friday evening. I think it's wrong that we are not able to discuss our individual amendments at this city council. Mayor, you're elected mayor. You can run the meeting and control the meeting any way you want. But this was a prearranged how this was voted on, in my opinion, at the meeting I had with you Friday. I think it's wrong. I think the process is wrong. And I think it's a travesty on the citizens of Dallas how you conducted yourself, in my opinion, not to give us the courtesy to discuss every single amendment. And I have said my piece. And of course, I will not support the budget under those circumstances. And I think it's wrong if you continue during your term and subsequent terms not to have the city council members have the time to discuss each one of their amendments, especially how you said. Now, do I hear a motion? You can hear your tape if you want to hear the tape. Do I hear a motion? Rozanski's motion from 12 to 15. Motion was made, no, we don't want to hear it, and that's how it was. So that's how it ended, and I think it was wrong. So easy for me to say thank you, but Mr. Mayor, I don't feel like saying that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of September 15th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Rozanski?
No, I'm not approving that because they were written wrong.
Mr. Rozanski opposed that. He did not approve it. Okay. Our second item on the agenda, Madam Secretary.
Item number 2 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions and the evaluation and duties of board and commission members. There are no nominees for presentation today, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And then would you read into the record item number 3 for individual consideration?
Item number 3 is a resolution adopting policy guidelines for city officials who are board and commission members concerning the solicitation and acceptance of gifts, tickets, mails, travel, lodging, entertainment, and honoraria.
Dr. Garcia has moved it. Second. Mr. Atkins seconded it. Discussion. Mr. Newman, please.
And I bring this up just for purposes of those in the audience as well as those that may be listening. I'm assuming what this is that's before us today is to create the standards, ethics standards, for our appointees equal to those that are held for the council. Is that correct?
That's accurate. When earlier in the year we approved the revised standards for the council, this in effect just mirrors it for boards and commissions.
Okay, and I'm supportive of that, Mayor and council members. Question for the manager. Oops, sorry.
Maybe the manager or maybe the city attorney.
Okay, or city attorney. Well, my question goes to, have we articulated a policy for city employees?
Okay.
We've created a revised standard for council members. This action today will be for appointees. In our discussion, I think that Ms. Medrano was your leader on for this, for the council. We had the discussion of council members, employee or appointees, and the next question was employees. So, Mary, where are we at in that
When this is passed, we will fashion a policy for employees that follows this, mirrors this in as much as it can vis-a-vis employee responsibilities and council and board responsibilities.
Okay.
It will look like don't take tickets unless you've got some responsibility.
And is that an action that's taken administratively or
yes.
is that an action taken
yes.
by the council?
Be taken administratively.
Okay, would you...
Do you want to do it?
And I'm supportive of that. I just would ask that you memo the council
absolutely.
To say that that's done so that we have closure.
Okay.
I probably posted the website.
Oh, yes. All our administrative actions are
okay,
in
good.
The website.
I just want to
I mean, our
closure.
Administrative directives are in the website.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yep. Any other discussion?
On three.
Item number three, yes. Okay. No other discussion. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any objections? So ordered. With that, I do want to recognize Roger Waddell in the audience, who serves, Roger, if you'll just stand up real quick, serves on the Ethics Advisory Commission. We appreciate your service on that. We appreciate you sitting in for this item, too. Thank you very much. It is now 10:15 of September 17th of 2008. City Council will now go into a closed session under Section 551.071 of the Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the City Attorney on the following matters described in today's agenda. Dunlap versus Hood, Kreider versus the City of Dallas, Wallace and Arnold versus the City of Dallas, legal issues regarding the maintenance and operation of DWU water pipelines in the City of Irving, and finally, legal issues regarding the possession operation management of Samuel Farm at the W.W. Samuel Permanent Foundation, also known as the Samuel Trust. I am hopeful that we could be done in the area of about 11:15. If we're done at 11:15, we'll come back and move forward with our speakers prior to leaving at 11:30. If we don't get that far, then we'll have to pick up the afternoon speakers at 1 o'clock. So with that, we'll stay right here for the executive session. So if we could clear the room, I would appreciate it, and we'll move into executive session. Thank you. Happy birthday.
We're going to talk before.
Are we convene an open session at 1:54. We begin your afternoon speakers with Charles Goodlow, followed by Ozumba Lunks. Charles Goodlow is not present. Ozumba Lunks, followed by William Hopkins. Ozumba Lunks is not present. William Hopkins is not present. Elijah McGrew is not present. Gwen Wooten is not present. Jerlene Hollins is not present. Frank Ward. If I will please first recite the speaker guidelines.
That's okay.
Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks and who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. You do have 2 minutes to speak. Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Minister Frank Ward. Is this on? Can you?
Yes. Yeah.
We're
listening.
Okay.
Let's hear Minister Ward.
Yeah, we're listening. First of all, glory to God. Over the years, I've heard a lot of great sermons preached, and I've heard a lot of great preachers preach sermons. And often I've heard mistakes that they made while they were speaking. But rarely have I had the opportunity to hear them correct it. So last week when I was talking, I was comparing the African-American community with the children of Israel, and I talked about them being in slavery for 45 years on an 11-day trip. And I want to correct that because they was in slavery for over 400 years. And when they were delivered, being led out to go to the promised land, which was an 11-day trip, they wind up stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. And I just want to say that because as a child growing up and listening to ministry, I often compare the African-American community with the children of Israel because they were in slavery. And for the last 45 years, we've been waiting for this development in the southern sector. And the thing, the truth of the matter is, when I put together the project almost 20 years ago, it was designed, it really was a seed, and it was designed to be in my particular community, to grow out into other communities and be self-sufficient, would mean that if we had built those homes 20 years ago for $35,000 to $45,000, those homes probably would be about anywhere from $85,000 to $115,000, which would also add to the tax base of this city. And it would generate revenue to continue to build these homes, you know. But unfortunately, because it was closed and stolen and people made it their own and everybody done their own little deal, our community is pretty much a decimate. And the thing of it is that this Southern Dallas development thing, I mean, it's really a major development. And the thing of it is, I think that we need to do something collectively so that everybody's broken to do their own deal. For the last 30 years, I've heard a lot of council representation. They come by and every issue, they abort their opinion. They bring up issues, things that are wrong with whatever's on the table and all of that. But yet then they turn around and say, even though it's not right, and I'm like, I'm going to go along with it. I'm going to go ahead and vote with it. And that's what's been happening in our community for the last 30 years. And I just want you to know that you know, there are African-American developments all over this country. You know, when the city of Dallas got rid of the bills of giant skyscrapers and all of that, it wasn't just the developers here. They went to other states and other cities to see new buildings and different things. And if you ever travel, you'll see some of these same buildings that we have here. It's just that there's so many people in Dallas, especially in the African American community, they've never really been anywhere, never really seen anything. And, you know, because of where I come from, they figure me to be one of the same. But truly, I'm not. I'm a man of great faith. I've come this far by faith, and I'm standing on the promise that God gave to me, and I know His word won't come back void, and the work that He's beginning in me, He shall perform it. And I appreciate that.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much, Madam Speaker.
That concludes your speaker for this afternoon, yes. Mr. Mayor.
We are now adjourned. We will begin our session this evening at 6:30 at the Arboretum. So look forward to seeing you at 6:30 at the Arboretum.
Adjourned at 1:59 p.m. Thank you.